Hey, this is Mana from WHFC, and welcome back to The Owl's Nest. It's one of Harvard Community College's official podcasts, cluing you into facility, staff, students, movers, and shakers on campus, as well as events on and around the campus. Today, I have our new Dean of Arts and Humanities, Dr. Kim Davis. Thanks for coming, Dr. Davis.
Well, Muhammad, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. No problem. Tell me a little bit about your background in education.
I have been in higher ed for over 20 years. I call this my third life. I actually started after college in corporate America. My undergraduate degree is in economics. After being in that field, I wanted to move into one where I really believed in the mission. And I love the mission of higher ed. So I went back to school and got a master's in English. And then I went on to get a doctorate in English composition or rhetoric and composition. And what that means is, in layman's terms, is writing and the teaching of writing. Mm-hmm. And so I've used that time in higher ed to be an instructor. I have worked at a couple of institutions, and then I went into administration. And that was a big move for me. But one of the individuals that I have come to admire in this field said to me is, in a classroom, you can impact, you know, for English classes, that's about 20 to 25 students. But as an administrator, you can do more. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to be where I am today.
What's the mission to higher ed to you?
Lives is impacting lives, impacting students' lives and at a community college. And I've always wanted to be at a community college. I did work at four-year institutions. So I feel like I worked my way up mm-hmm. to a community college. But it's also impacting the community because that's in our middle name and it matters. And I think Harford Community College in general, or I should say specifically, does a great job of that.
You think as a dean you've had like your biggest impact in the community so far?
No. I'm only starting, Muhammad. I hope I never say I've had my biggest impact. I hope I continue to do the kinds of things that like I said, help students, because students, you know, think of what a student does when they complete their program and they go out and hopefully they stay within their community. And that's a critical thinking individual who adds to the ideas, the new developments, and it's this wonderful cycle. So to me, touching one student is touching the community. But as a community college, we also offer programming for the community at large, for individuals who just want to come back and get a certificate so that they can move ahead. Or what I like about Harford Community College is that we have a lot of non-credit programs. Some of them are just fun. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we are a wonderful partner here in Harford County, and I want to be a part of that, and I'm just starting. I hope as an educator, I never think I've reached a plateau.
Right. You're just starting here in one of the biggest, or it's the biggest division here at Harford Community College. How has your first experience been?
Well, this is kind of a lot of new and more of the same. I come to Harford Community College from a somewhat larger institution that served about 15,000 credit students and had five campuses. And I've worked in the largest division. So I'm here at Harford Community College as a dean, again, in the largest division. So I came from Communication Arts and Humanities to Arts and Humanities. And the only difference is a name. So it's a lot of the same divisions and a lot of the same subject areas, but different, you know, different faculty, different students, different needs. And I'm just excited to be here.
What was the institution that you just came from?
Oakland Community College in Michigan. Oh, and people used to say Oakland, they think California, but now it's cold. So I'm glad to be here in Harford County because it's a whole lot warmer.
And you've also had experience in the corporate world. How are you taking experiences and lessons that you learned from that and incorporating it into your dean position?
I think that's what made it easier for me to become a dean. And this is like really funny. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have a really good friend and a couple of people over time who've said to me, Even when I was in the classroom, you know, you should be a dean or, you know, you should be in administration. And that has to do with the corporate experience that I had. You know, there, you know, I was responsible for budgets and for people and for projects and initiatives. And that's what I do as a dean. I am responsible for working with people and budgets and initiatives and programs. So that kind of so I've appreciated the decade that I spent in corporate America, mm-hmm. because that helps me to be an even better administrator, or at least I hope an even better administrator. I set a goal for myself.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. How important do you think the leadership skills were?
Great, and I'd say, and I'm still developing as a leader. I hope I always continue to develop as a leader. I'm not a fan of saying that we're in education, right? We're supposed to be learning, mm-hmm. that I'm always learning to be a better administrator. And what's most important to me as an administrator is that I'm adaptable, mm-hmm. to the context that I'm in, to the moment that I'm in, to the situation that I'm facing. So, because we're partners, mm-hmm. and, you know, impacting lives is hard work. I was at a meeting today and it's funny. Okay, this is corny because nobody can see me, right. But it's also hard work because we do it because we love doing it. You know, it's part of who we are as individuals, and we want to do that job well. And if you want to do it well, it's not just your head, but it's your heart, mm-hmm. because we are whole people. Students are whole people. Mm-hmm. You know, you come to campus, it's not just your brain. You got a heart, right? And how we treat you and how we accept you and how we help you reach your goals is important to us, and it's important to you. And that's hard work. Not hard, H-A-R-D, but...
Yeah, hard work. Yeah,
heart,
I got it.
I was like, am I enunciating that T?
Now, those are some of the intangibles. Do you plan on including some of those or trying to bring that message to the students within the curriculum as well?
Yes. And you know, I'm just starting. So here, you know, this is my sixth week. You know, this is kind of like a relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm in counting. You know, right. Like when you first start dating somebody, you're like, oh my God, we've been together for a week. It's been a month. So I haven't had my 2-month anniversary yet. Mm-hmm. And so I am at the point where I am learning, you know, where I can provide that support, providing the support that I can with what I know. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a question you and I should have a conversation maybe a year from now. Then I could tell you in terms of more specifics.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I know in general that, you know, I'm here to help support and grow arts and humanities. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal. Mm-hmm. What that looks like in specificity is something that I will learn together as I work even closely with the faculty and staff that are already here. So I want to build upon what we're doing well and look at some things. So I look at things that as opportunities where we can have some opportunities for improvement. Mm-hmm. So I've got lofty goals in my head.
Yeah, that's good. Always good to have lofty goals. It's building upon the groundwork. Well, WHFC is one of many activities that students can participate in on campus. How can you see these kind of organizations helping students as they attend school?
And so I had a great, a couple of wonderful conversations, some strategic conversations with Terry Troyer, who manages the radio station. And what we looked at is just kind of growing it, positioning it based on its strengths. And I think one of the things that it does well is mentor students like you. You know, you're developing really important work-life skills just by sitting here and interviewing me. Think about you're interviewing me now, and we don't know each other. We'll know each other better when this interview is over. But
most definitely.
So you're developing skills that you could use, you know, in job interviews. So that to me is an important part of WHFC. I want to get that message out so that students understand that, hey, come join a radio station, not just because it's fun, but you're going to develop skills that can translate into opportunities and careers down the road. You may not choose to be an announcer later down the road, but you could. But you're learning how to do it. Mm-hmm. And great communication skills are valued, no matter what you choose to be, whether you're a nurse or an artist, because you've got a... you know, communicate, you know, the meaning of or what you are trying to portray in this artwork, whether you're in business. I could keep going on and on. And every occupation I could think of requires communication skills. Very few of them are going to be like you're sitting in a box all by yourself and you never have to communicate with anyone.
No, exactly. I mean, I'm kind of like the epitome, like example of what you were trying to describe earlier. Like, I do this because I like to volunteer. I like to help people. But I know for a fact, yes, I was shaking my head. Like, I don't want to be an announcer, but I think that the communication skills that I get from mm-hmm. doing this is vital to how I want to be later in my life, like incorporating myself with different people, ethnicities, races, you know what I'm saying? All types of backgrounds. And plus, I love talking to people. So, you know, it goes both ways.
And you said it's something really important. You said incorporating yourself with people. Mm-hmm. You're part of a team here. Teamwork is really important. And not only that, and I don't know if you think about it this way, but I think of it this way. The radio station gives you an opportunity to say that you belong at Harford Community College. You belong here. We support you. We support your growth as a person. You know, and all of the research says that when students feel like they belong to a college, that they're more likely to persist and get the certificate or degree that they came to get. So now it's my turn to interview you. Right. What are you here for, Muhammad?
You know, I mean, a lot of things.
So here's the thing. I don't think I'm grown up, but so what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a branch chief.
Okay.
Probably past that. I'm getting my degree in information systems, so I'm purely on like IT. I'm interested in arts and humanities too. I've interviewed so many different deans that have told me about their programs. I wish I could do all of them because it's a lot of little things and nuances that I can't necessarily like incorporate all into one big thing. Like I like learning all of the computer stuff, but some of the skills like writing, drawing, I love to incorporate that because I mean writing, like going into that humanities, technical writing and stuff like that, that's making a better resume too. You know, it's little things.
And you said something. Really, you're like my, you give me good cues. So even being here, if you're thinking about, you know, the radio station and how do we think about it and how does that help students, this is something you get to put on your resume because you've had this experience. And, you know, the resume process is about a story to tell, an experience you've had and a story you can tell about that experience. And you do have that. Mm-hmm. But I will say this for arts and humanities, that kind of creative thinking that you get in arts and humanities will serve you well. So, you know, you may not be able to plug them into your program right now, but, you know, we're in a cycle of lifelong learning. Mm-hmm. Somewhere down the road, when you've reached that career that you have, come back and take a ceramics class. Come back and take an arts class or pick up an instrument and take advantage of a music program. Mm-hmm. And you're from, you told me earlier that you're from this area. So if you get a job and stay in this area, we'll be here when you're ready for us.
Yeah, most definitely. If you need to be interviewed again, I'll be around. No, I'll be.
I didn't say that, Muhammad.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's definitely other skills that you can incorporate from just like small things that you really don't think about. What other kind of skills do you think that people could learn from arts and humanities and probably get into the workforce and have those as well?
Well, you mentioned one of them where you're talking about effective communication, and that's written and verbal communication. And both of those are in arts and humanities. You know, I don't know any job. So you said you're going into CIS mm-hmm. or IT. Yeah. So even though you're you know, you're working with some aspect of computers, you're going to be working with colleagues. Mm-hmm. You're going to be, you know, and you want to be a chief. So you want people to report to you, then you need to be able to communicate with them well. You know, if you're, even if you think of philosophy and logic, that critical thinking, to be able to think through a problem, and problems really won't just be in the program that you're solving, because you can, if you're a chief, you know, you might be done the part where you're actually, you know, doing the keying mm-hmm. for a particular software package. You've got to manage people. You've got to be able to sit down and have that conversation where you're going to have this logical progression of ideas from problem to possible solutions. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot here. And that creativity, that compassion that you get from taking some of those humanities classes. That's really important. You said earlier that, you know, you liked being able to work with different people for different backgrounds. We're in an extremely diverse society that's only becoming more diverse. And the kind of skills that you need to work with others who are different than you are. Mm-hmm. And I mean the range of differences. There's a whole lot of ways that somebody can be different than you are. Mm-hmm. And for you to be able to see that so that you can work well with them, communicate well with them, and live well with them is what you get out of arts and humanities.
Yeah, being in the field already, I'm already kind of seeing things like that. Already kind of working with, like, I see people from, like, the higher end of things, how they kind of don't always have their hands within, like, the little things that we're doing. But still, even if I might be working on a computer, the person above me knows the computer in and out. You mentioned philosophy. I took a class last semester. Yeah, I took, like, last fall, I mean. And it was philosophy. Shout out, John. Love you, John. But taking that class also helped me understand, like, how people can think so differently about one topic, you know. And of course we have like outside influences and stuff, but it's like, I mean, you take like an apple, like the apple might be green to me, it look like a hint of green, but it might be completely red to somebody else, you know. But at the end of the day, we understand that it's an apple, you know. It's all about perspective, and learning where somebody's coming from to solve problems is something that will definitely help you better in your career.
Yeah. Well, critical thinking and creativity are important. And the other part that I love about the arts as well, in this moment, in just our society, not just higher ed, you know, we're coming out of a pandemic. We're kind of sort of still in it.
Yeah.
And I would love to say we're on the edge of it, but, you know, we get that thought and then something kicks up again.
Like fourth quarter.
Yeah. So, you know, we've gone through a lot. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's just a lot to consider. And what the arts and even the humanities can do for you, and I'm just thinking of arts, is give people an outlet. Mm-hmm. Creativity. There is ceramics in my division. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at it. You know, we have faculty for that. Mm-hmm. But art making is cathartic. Mm-hmm. It's relaxing. It makes you feel better. It builds community. It does some wonderful things that affect you as an individual, because we bring our whole selves to every situation. We bring our whole selves to college. We bring our whole selves to work, and our whole selves need moments of outlet and creativity and community. Mm-hmm. And not only that, and as a society, you know, art is important. You know, we think about our society from the art that we produce.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, art to me is mm-hmm. beautiful, because it's an expression of self that you can't really put on or into words or on paper. Well, I mean, technically you can if you like drawing or something, but you know what I mean? It is community. Like, I understand that firsthand, because I'm also a producer. Like, when you come to people for a project or a song, like, even, I mean, on the outside looking in, you think it's an easy process, but it's not. It's so many things that go into it. It's like, I have to make the beat, then the beat needs to be recorded on, and then somebody needs to make the sound better, and then somebody might scrap the idea completely. But you need to work together as a team so you can get that finalized product that everybody hears.
Yeah, so look at all those wonderful skills that you're using and how they tie into arts and humanities. But not only that, how do you feel after you've produced that piece, and it's just right, it's doing what you need it to do? How do you feel about that?
I feel euphoric. It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling now.
And that's a perfect example of what I just shared. You know, art making, whether you're an art major and you are gifted in that area, or you're more like me and your creative output looks a little less like, mm-hmm. You know, Mozart. You're like, it doesn't sound like Mozart and doesn't look like Monet, mm-hmm. but I've enjoyed it, and I've gained something just from the process of creation. That's what arts and humanities, I think, contributes to a community and contributes to individuals, mm-hmm. as well as careers, because there are careers in the arts as well.
What are some of the top careers in the arts field?
For that, I'd have to actually ask my faculty to be in particular. But I think all arts are important. I think we have music, we have
graphic design,
we have 2D art, we have 3D art, we have digital art production, we have television, we have radio, because they're parts of, you know, it's part of communications, but it's also, if you think about media and the bigger picture, sometimes if you, in terms of media and art, because it requires that kind of artistic mindset. So there are lots and lots of careers. So I can't say top. I could probably go on the Bureau of Labor Statistics occupational handbook, or go to the census data, and you know, there might be some indicators of what's top, but mm-hmm. you know, that to me is relative to who's looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, art is less more about like what the numbers say, and more like what you were saying earlier, like what does your heart tell you that you want to do? What are you really passionate about?
Yeah, and we need everyone, but you know, I think everyone can in all of those areas, packaged well, everyone can make a livable wage. And it's our job to help students who are musicians come here and get the skills that they need to go into the workforce, whatever that looks like for them. No less so than, you know, than on the humanity side, a historian. Mm-hmm. You know, we need that. All of those pieces are what make our society so interesting, and we need those different minds and those different skill sets. So we're here and we offer those range of programs mm-hmm. so that we can be a good partner in our community mm-hmm. for what people want and for what people need.
Mm-hmm. Now, also being an artist with myself, I know every artist struggles with this, is like creative block. So do you have any suggestions for people, or do you teach any suggestions for people to get past that hump when they're having a creative struggle like that?
I think that's individual. And it's funny because so before I became a dean, I was an English instructor. Mm-hmm. And I think it's different for every person, but sometimes, you know, we talked earlier about being a part of a community. You're stuck, right? Let's say you're trying to do a piece. And you're not trying to copy somebody else's artistry. Mm-hmm. So maybe you just need to listen to some pieces. You know, think about the genre you're trying to go into. Here's some stuff. Or invite a friend over and just, we call that free writing in English, just go for it. Mm-hmm. Like really just put some beats down, let it go. And sometimes in that moment, brilliance occurs. Because, you know, it's kind of, it helps, you know, a problem is easier shared, you know, and really, and one of the best ways to get to creativity is also, is just remove the stress, you know.
Do something different.
Yeah, do something different. It's not perfect. Take a walk. It's interesting. Like sometimes if you just, to me, just nature, mm-hmm. just walking, it looks green, you know. You see someone with a puppy, maybe you have your own, like that. Mm-hmm. Just that kind of release, doing something to release some endorphins, I think can help you get over that block. Or just, you know, kind of like I said, in that moment, if you're a creative writer, and we have creative writing mm-hmm. in arts and humanities, is just, you know, just write. Just whatever comes to mind, just keep going. And somewhere in the middle of just keep putting it down and let yourself make mistakes. You know, to learn, we have to make mistakes. And then somewhere in there will be the thing that you need to take this project to the next level. So now it's my turn to be the interviewee. So how long have you been at Harford Community College?
Like 2.5 years, I want to say.
Okay.
Wait, no, 1.5 years. 1.5 years.
1.5 years? Mm-hmm. So when will you be done with your program?
Next year.
Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah, for sure. I see, it's hard for me to like gauge it time wise because my semesters got split up when I was in the military. So it's like I was still a student on paper, but I didn't take as many classes. I didn't take full courses or as much as I wanted to, just because I was like, oh, I might leave. Oh, I might leave this semester. Oh, I might leave this semester. But when I started interviewing people here and working with WHFC, I was here like full time.
All right. So you're taking how many credit hours are you taking this semester?
Full course load.
So 12 or more?
12, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Mm-hmm. 12 will get you there. Mm-hmm. And you know where my office is, right? So now I said at the beginning of this interview, I didn't know you. Mm-hmm. I know you now, Muhammad. So
yeah, I'm gonna definitely stop by. You know,
I can come hunt you down and make sure that you're making progress.
Right, you know where I'll be. You know
okay.
Where I'll be.
So, and you have a support team here. Mm-hmm. And now you have, that's grown by one. And we have services here at Harford. So if you get into a class and you're struggling, I hope you'll take advantage of our tutoring and support center. And, you know, we try to support the whole student here. Like I said, you bring your whole self to college. And, you know, sometimes there's this moment and there is absolutely nothing wrong asking for help. It is wisdom to ask for help. As I said way at the beginning of this interview, even as the Dean of Arts and Humanities, I don't approach the job that I do thinking that I know everything. Mm-hmm. What I know is I don't know everything. But what I do know how to do is ask questions and listen, invite others into that problem-solving moment with me, because that always produces a better decision. Mm-hmm. So if you're struggling, I want you to reach out. And if you don't know who to talk to, then I want you to knock on my door. Let's have a conversation. Let's see if we can find the person who will get you on the right path. Gotcha. Because I want to see you walk across the stage, Muhammad. Okay.
I will, for sure. Another thing, future-wise, partnering with any local or even like professional industry partners for the college in terms of the different arts that you have.
We're always doing that. For example, we have a new interactive media program, and the faculty member, Rachel Kawa, who is building that program for us, we're looking at creating a community advisory board. And we do have those where we invite industry leaders to come in and give us recommendations about, you know, how we're building our curriculum. Because at the end of that, you know, we want to make sure that students have the skills that they need, the skills that you're building here at WHFC to walk into a career that will help them and their family.
Okay, Dr. Davis, where can people find you at on campus?
I am in Joppa Hall and in Havre de Grace. I split my time between those two areas of the campus because that's where we have arts and humanities, and I want to be with my faculty. Mm-hmm. So you will find me on campus in the hours that the college, more like business hours when the college is open. I usually arrive here at 8 a.m. in the morning, and you probably are going to find me on campus probably close to 5 or 6. But I will be here, Muhammad, as long as you need me to be here. So if you drop in my office at 5:55 or and I'm there, you have a question, I will stay here until we've worked our way to a solution, or at least to someone who can help you get a solution.
Well, I want to thank Dr. Kim Davis, Dean of Arts and Humanities at Harford Community College, for coming into the Owl's Nest today. Thank you so much, Dr. Davis.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Muhammad.
Yeah, of course. No problem. Please like and subscribe to all three of Harford's official podcasts, WHFC Presents, HCC 360, and Feedback. For WHFC, I'm Muhammad Bangura. We'll see you next time.